You are now listening to Extra Time with Dan and Chris from the Sports Heads. Gotta love a little extra time.
Welcome to another episode of the Extra Time. It's your boy Dan. It's a, I want to say NFL special, but we're also going to talk about the NBA because obviously there's just been a lot of news across the board. My regular co-host Chris isn't with me, so I brought one of my boys from from the UK as well, Amari. I know you guys loved him from the last couple of times he's been on the show. How have you been, man?
I'm good, thanks. I'm finally kind of out of lockdown. We're allowed outside to the gardens. To the garden pubs. I haven't been to one yet because everything's been snowing or raining in this country. But, I'm good. I've been watching my NBA, staying up late, acting like I've got nothing else to do with my life. So, it's been all
lockdown.
Right.
It's lockdown. There's nothing else to be doing in your life, apart from sports.
I would have hoped there is more things to life than just watching sports. But to be fair, the sports has been enjoyable, so I can't complain either.
Watching sports and watching shows. If you're in the UK, Line of Duty, I recommend. If you're in the US, boy, I don't even know what. I'll say Falcon and Winter Soldier,
We won't talk about that second show. Line of Duty, though, is a good recommendation. Good recommendation.
We'll talk about that. I like the show, to be fair, but we digress. We are going to talk about, we'll start off with the NBA. And we are going to talk about something, again, not necessarily about the games, but one of the incidents with Dennis Schroeder and Kyrie both got ejected against all the Lakers Nets game. Obviously, the Nets ended up losing that game. But one thing that was really poignant was the aftermath and what happened. And a lot of people were confused initially with what was going on and what was said. And then Kyrie went to clarify it and basically came out and said that he didn't really appreciate being called the N-word. That the N-word isn't a word that could be just claimed or used or effectively repatronized and then basically just drained of the toxicity. I hear people like Skip Bayless talks about with ER and the AR is different because blacks drained the toxicity out of the ER and made it AR instead, and that's a bit more colloquial. I think it's all a lot of BS personally to me. I think, end of the day, ER, AR is tomato, tomorrow in my opinion, that kind of sort of thing. But Amari, for me personally, I'm gonna probably segue into it to get your opinion, but for me personally, obviously I was keen to get through this kind of show because we're both black individuals and we're both black from the UK observing the US, and it's a bit different. I studied in the US, so I understand how and why. Well, I understand that they use the N-word, black communities use the N-word a lot. For me personally, I really have a strong distaste for the word. I don't use it among other black people. I don't like it being used because for me personally, I think once you start to use it and you give the agency, whether or not people are allowed to use it, people will test it, and whites will test the limits and where they can do it. Perfect example is I won't say the word on air, but the Kanye West and Jay-Z song, Something in Paris. If I was a white person and I generally liked the music and I wanted to say, DJ, can you play it? What are you going to say? What, in Paris? You want to say that, you're sort of inclined. And I think allowing the agency to allow people to use it and say it gives people, or has allowed people who aren't black to say it as well, and embolden them to say it, because it's like, look, I listen to this rap music, it's so commercialized, it's so popular, they have it, surely it's fine. And I think for me personally, that's one aspect. We'll obviously dig a bit more deeper into it, but obviously for me, using it in that kind of terms obviously gives other people the agency to use it. I don't like it, and obviously the connotation of it is there for everyone to know. So before I digress and go a bit deep, I'm going to throw it back at you, and you give me your thoughts, your initial thoughts on the sort of N-word controversy.
For me personally, I don't use the word. However, the issue I have is like the music conversation. So when I'm listening to music, I will know every lyric for all my favorite songs. And if these songs are American based or from American artists, it's very likely it's going to be a rap song. And if it's going to be a rap song, the N-word is going to be used in one way or another, which I always find interesting because I always like, how can you not make a song without the word? I don't get it. I don't get that concept. So when I listen to other artists who manage to do it, I'm like, all right, cool, great. And I seem to enjoy their music because it's not the same way. But in terms of the cultural understanding of why I feel I could be wrong, but the reclaiming element that African Americans have in using the word, I think it makes sense why they believe it's correct for them to use. It's them saying, yes, you've used this against me, but I want to show you that I'm stronger than that. Now, the confusion part gets in is if you know and you're another race that the word is offensive to that race, you shouldn't use it. You shouldn't need a justification to want to use it or use the example. But they say in the song that there's no, if someone uses a racial slur against you as a different ethnicity, but you're saying it's okay because you use it for yourselves in between your own conversation with your own race. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't comprehend as normal logic. So if it's not normal logic, why should it be okay? If people want to use it, you have to let them use it. The only way they wouldn't want to use it is that it's through education and changing the social perspective of the use of the word. But it's really difficult to, it's going to be generationals. It's not even like we spend 20 years. It's going to be a whole, probably 3 generations of Black people are going to have to be probably indoctrinated to not use the word. And I don't know if that's possible right now in this climate. Because it's so much of a them and us mentality going through everything from when I'm looking outside in, especially into America, when it comes to race relations. I don't see how right now that change is going to take place.
See, for me,
the word not to be used.
See, for me, it's funny because I don't understand where that change came from, because you got a lot of the Blacks who went through Jim Crow era, civil rights era, and a lot of the old generation, they never used that word and they don't use it among themselves. And then, so I don't understand where it's now become so acceptable to use that word. And I think that's where it's bothered me, because it's moved from, you've known this word, you know, your parents or your grandparents have suffered abuse, trauma from this word, but you now think it's all right to use it among yourselves. And I think in a way it's still, I feel like it's a belittlement, because what other ethnic group, you can use the Jews and the Holocaust and the words that were used there, you can use Native Americans, you can use Aborigines, you can use Mexicans, you can use Latinos, you can go through all the different minority ethnic groups, Indians, Asians. When I've never heard any one of those groups use a word that has been used derogatively towards them and say they're going to claim it and use it for themselves. That's not been a thing. That's never been a thing. So I don't understand how that's all of a sudden now a thing among Black people when other ethnic groups don't do it. And I think also, like I said and alluded to, when you start to use it and you popularize it, you give people agency to use it. And for me personally, that word should be scrapped from at the bottom of the barrel. It should never be used, it should never be talked about. It's like how you go in Germany and, you know, you mention Hitler, it's like, no go. And I feel like that word should have the same thing in America. Like, no, we're not going to use it, we're not going to say it. And it's funny because obviously, you know, the best example I use, obviously, you know, people who are listening to this are who aren't Black. You know, people are like, oh, but it's in music. But it's the same thing when I say this. If you're married, it's okay to call your wife sweetheart, darling, babes, whatever, an affectionate word. You can't then use it for a female colleague and say, yo, sweetheart, you know, that's not seen as okay. That's not seen as acceptable. So when people are like, oh yeah, but they use the N-word, it's like, well, yes, there's certain things you say to your spouse or your parents that you won't say outside. And I think that's, you need to understand that. And so that's where that will be my gripe on the flip side. But I don't know, for me, I just don't like how it's even coming across into the UK, into the UK now, from the US, where you now start to see a lot more UK and Blacks use the N-word in their music, which you never used to see that before. And so I think for me, that also bothers me.
I hear you. I do. I just feel like for it to change, it's going to be the re-education, if that makes sense, of Black people. And that's why I said it's not going to be one generation. It's going to be a couple years of generations to actually filter the word back out, or filter it to have to understand what its meaning originally meant. And even though you can, and you do have the option to, as a free individual, to try and remake the word or rename the word to your understanding or what you want it to view, it's always going to have that original connotation, because that's what the word meant, or that's what the word, it was always derogatory as a word. So it's going to be a long time personally before it changes, but I'm happy that he stepped up and actually explained himself as to why, and why the word is not good, and why the word shouldn't be used. Because obviously, if he didn't explain himself, it would have just been like a hoo-ha for no explanation, no understanding. And given context and understanding of how it makes him feel as an individual, it might make other people step up and be like, oh, okay, we need to think of differently about how to approach this and why it shouldn't be used. Because it's, I feel you're correct in saying you don't understand, but I feel like it's mad that it's first going to be a problem that Black people will need to solve, stop using the word. Then it will be, then you could actually, when Black people stop using the word and you hear it, like, if you hear it as 1 out of 10, 1 out of 100, that's a lot less than you would hear it in normal conversations now, what I feel between Black people. So it starts within us, then it goes, spreads out.
No, I feel you. And I think my two issues, one, first of all, Dennis Schroeder, he grew up in Germany. He moved to the US when he was 20. The dude should know better. He's an adult when he moved to the US. He should not be using that word. I don't know how he's now using it so like flamboyantly, like he grew up in the US, firstly. That's my first issue.
He got caught up in the culture of the lifestyle.
Yeah, no, that's an issue for me. Because at the end of the day, like if I went to the States when I was 20. I studied there. I didn't use the N-word. I really knew better. So I wasn't going to be like, no matter how long I was going to be there, I'm going to be part of the lifestyle. So that's the first thing. The second thing as well is, and I think my issue is also the explanation as to why they use it, that they've reclaimed the word. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. And personally, for me, maybe this is just my definition. It's a little bit different. And people listen, you might think differently. But surely, if you've reclaimed the word, you should not be bothered by someone using that word against you. If I was fat, if I was obese, if I was, you know, I don't know, let's say I was clinically obese, yeah? And people have been calling me obese all my life, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to stand up. I'm going to claim that word. I'm going to claim obese. It's going to be obese boy 21. That's my handle, all these kind of things. And someone says, you're obese. I'm like, yeah, I'm obese. And so what? That, for me, is reclaiming it, because you've drained all the toxicity because you've embraced it. It's like, well, it doesn't bother me. The moment you drain a toxicity in a word, it shouldn't bother you. If someone says black boy, like, yeah, I'm black, so what? That's not bothering me. That shouldn't bother me. So for me, if you really claim the N-word, it shouldn't bother you, because that you've given the word no more power. But the fact is that you're allowing other non-black people to use that word, and it allowing you it to trigger you and bother you. But white person was to call you the N-word right now, it would bother you. That's why, because there's power in that word. So you haven't drained the word. No matter if you call it EA or AR, because I'm not going to lie to you, white person isn't going to be like, no, I was meant the AR one, not the ER one. It's not big. So
I don't want it.
For me, you drain it. You completely drain the whole situation, because the word shouldn't affect you. But the fact that the word still affects every single black person in the US for the most part, you've lost me on the fact that you tried to reclaim it and you drained the toxicity.
I hear that. But we're not gonna pander on the definition of the last two letters, because that's just woeful. I can't believe that's a position that someone can actually take to give substantial support. You know, but sometimes you feel like, oh, people have sense, and then they do things. You're like, then you realize, oh, maybe they don't, and there's nothing else. You just gotta move on, because let's just move on. It's so frustrating, but it's just like, how? Why? Are you? Anyway.
Yeah, cool. It is frustrating, trust me. But we are going to move on to another aspect in terms of with sports, also from a cultural aspect as well. And we are going to talk about Deshaun Watson and that situation at the moment right now. If you've been listening to regularly listening to us, you know that we try to, I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan first, but we also know that we haven't actually addressed the issue since. And we are going to address the issue now. And we are going to talk about it. Obviously, Deshaun Watson has had now, I think, 22 women come out to them as of today, 22, 23, come out and sort of filed a suit against him. Now, remember, it is a civil suit. It is not a criminal suit. And remember, it is innocent until proven guilty. Because, again, we don't know the whole situation. And because it's not because it's not criminal, he's not been arrested. It is civil. Mm-hmm. The NFL are doing an investigation. You know, the lawyers representing basically all but one of the female accusers. So effectively, I'm going to throw it to you first. I'm going to let you start off with this. What's your take on it? What should the NFL do with Deshaun Watson? And lastly, do you think Deshaun Watson is going to have a future in the NFL going forward?
That's a 3-point question out there. Well, first thing I want to add is that I recently found out this morning that one of the plaintiffs has dropped their lawsuit. So it sounds little, but he's down to 21. So it's the fact, I have to say 21, and I'm like, how does a person get to a situation where they have 21 civil lawsuits? It's unbelievable, because I'm thinking, When the reports first broke, there was one. It was like 1 to 2 in the first couple of days, and I was like, "This situation is very serious." But one to two, you know, there could be conversations, there could be evidence, there could be but it's getting played out in the media. It's getting played out in public life. So it's not even like it's being done in private and it's just a secret conversation. You're seeing enough of it to let people's opinions run wild on the scenario. But as the information and the more civil lawsuits came and peeled out, my first thought was, one, I don't know if he's going to have a season this year. So I think that's when I got around to the 14 mark. I thought like his season was going to be done. And then it had knock-on effects for all over the NFL in terms of even with the draft, even with free agency. That affected that. And then when he got to the 20s, I was kind of like, is the NFL not going to step in and say you're an exempt list? And I get it, it's not in the season, but would you not feel like, let me just place you in the exempt list, we're not going to say take your money right now, because obviously nothing has been proven, obviously is the case, but wouldn't that be a sensible precaution for the scenario? And the NFL so far hasn't done that, as far as I'm aware. So I'm very concerned that it's got to this stage, and I haven't read and I haven't seen a report from the NFL talking about it in that context. Like, they've moved shift when they've released statements saying, "Oh, it's we'll have to wait and see." To these are serious allegations, which is the correct thing, but there's more things that they could do. And if they're trying to support this idea of inclusivity and diversity within NFL, then would you not need to show what would be considered the correct cautionary steps? Isn't this not the reason that Roger Goodell has these exempt lists? Like, for specific scenarios that are very, we don't know the full facts, but right now we need to kind of take a moment and stop and pause. So from that element, I find it very disappointing from that part of the NFL aspect, because I haven't done what I would have liked them to do until things are cleared, or at least more information has come out that can actually be taken forth in the civil suit. For his career now, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I feel like this season's done. I think that's not a doubt. I also feel like his move away from Houston, I don't know if it's ever going to happen now until he's a free agent. So he's got another 3 or 5 years there. If he stays in the league, if he's allowed in the league, like, these are, and the worst thing is, that's not even as him as a person. I'm not saying he has to overcome it, but I feel like this is going to take a very difficult toll on him or the people's perception of him. Like, would another team want to be associated with him? Houston, you know, wanted to keep him for all the money in the world, because they wasn't going to willingly try and let him go, because he would have done it prior. And now I'm just like, what can you do? Like, regarding the allegations themselves, I'm upset. You wouldn't want the scenario to happen. You wouldn't want to need to have these conversations, or even think about who is right, what is right, what is wrong. And because you have to, it's kind of like, this is not what I enjoy it for the sport, but when you're coming out with the human element and the conversation, and then thinking about what are these women are going through, and then you're thinking about what is him as a black man going through, and then you're just like, there's a lot going on, and I would like to get more clarity, but we're not going to get it. right now. We're not going to get it until more information and the civil lawsuit goes further.
See, for me, so two things. I think for me, first, we're talking about the NFL. And we'll deal with the NFL. I think they're trying to be careful. I think they're trying to be cautious. I think it's also the off-season. So realistically speaking, is there a need to rush to a judgment because no one's playing, no one's joining the facilities? So there's no need to say, like, Deshaun isn't going to, he's not, first of all, I don't think he would enter the Texans organization in terms of their facilities anyways, but he's not, no one is. No one's, there's no preseason at the moment right now. There's no OTAs. There's no nothing. You know, you still got a draft next month. So for me, if I was the NFL, I get that. You know what? There's no reason to make a decision just yet. Let's see how this plays out. Let's have our interviews. Let's speak to these individuals. Let's see what happens. Now, for me, you know, I think, and I'll say that's fine with the NFL. Look, there's, you know, everyone wants people to just, I think we're in an age of where we're rushing to make decisions and rushing to make choices. And for me, there is no reason to rush just yet, just because of the fact that, like I said, there is no preseason. So what you're doing in that regard. So in that respect, I think we're going to see something happen. I personally think he's going to be suspended. How long is another ball game? It's another issue. It's another conversation. But I do think he's going to be suspended regardless. I think it's just a sheer number. And I think that's what bothers me. When we go into that, you know, you speak to any athlete, any professional athlete, even not even professional athlete, you speak to people who do sports, they will tell you that they usually have a go-to person, whether that's a physio, whether that's a masseuse, you know, whether that's, you know, chef, even human beings in general, once you like something, you usually go to somewhere else. Like, I'm sure, you know, there's a particular, I don't know, a restaurant that you like. And it's like, well, you know, if I had a choice, I'll continue going to that restaurant. I'm not going to choose another restaurant of a different choice. So for me, particularly when you're an athlete and it's your body that's your moneymaker, to go to over 30 different masseuses, you're a serial masseuse, but I don't understand. Like, there has to be, like, I don't want to say that there is merit because I don't want to judge him just yet, but it's not a good look. And it's not a good look because any professional athlete will tell you, I'm not investing my time to go to 20 different people for massage. I'm going to find one, maybe two, maybe three, trial and error. By the third, fourth one, I have found my masseuse, my go-to masseuse, and I'm keeping that masseuse. You know, I'll fly them out, I'll go to them, whatever, but I've got my go-to. But for you to go to that many, and as of recent, I think March this year was one of the latest ones that, you know, you look at that, boy, I don't know, it's not a great look for Deshaun. And I think, you know, I respect Deshaun, I respect his game as a quarterback, I like him as a quarterback, as a person, I don't know the person. And my theory is always with people, I never idolize anyone outside of what their given industry or field or sector is. If the person's a good actor, you like him for an actor. If this person's a good musician, you like him for a musician. I've never idolized someone outside of that. Like, if you ask me, do you like this person? I like their work. Don't know who they are as a person. And I've always said I've loved Deshaun as a QB. I think he's one of my he's one of my favorite QBs. But as a person, I don't know him. So I think it's a tricky one because you're now facing a situation in which really and truly Deshaun, his reputation is ruined no matter what. Do I think a team will still take him? Yes, because at the end of the day, we've seen murderers come back to the NFL. And if you can murder someone, and I mean, I'm not saying that the two are the same. I'm not even trying to equate it or trying to, you know, disparage one. But, you know, generally speaking, murder is seen as worse than sexual assault. So, you know, you carry heavier sentences for murder than sexual assault. So it's from there. But also, I think it's hard because they're going civil. They're not going criminal. You know, they haven't actually proceeded anything. I know the police have said, give us what you've got. The judge has now said that the females have to be identified if you're going to create a civil course. It's because it's not criminal. If it was criminal, I think their identities could be hidden. But because it's civil, your identities can't be hidden. So, again, not entirely sure why they're going that way with that many. I know it's hard to prove sexual assault, but with that much accusations, with that many accusers, it then becomes a situation where it's at least he can probably get a felony in terms of misdemeanor. But yeah, we'll see. For me personally, I think, you know, it annoys me when you see a lot of these young people. You've got so much ahead of you. Deshaun's what, 25? I mean, he has so much future ahead of him. Why risk it? Or just why? And you're Deshaun Watson, in all due respect, you're probably, you know, you're the heart child of, you're the face of the organization, you're the heart child. We both know you won't struggle to get a female who wants to sleep with you if that's uh-huh. your game, or you won't struggle to get something like that. So and you know, I know people compare it to like the Robert Kraft situation. Robert Kraft was one isolated incident from what we know. This is over 20 people. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. I know you were a conspiracy theorist when it first came up, because he wanted it. Certainly came
I really was, but when it was the 1 and 2 number, I was like, hey, listen, Houston, they're just trying to throw him in the dirt a little.
He wanted the whole transferring it, and that's why you're like,
yeah, because it was like they didn't want him to leave, so if you throw him in the dirt, he has to stay, and then obviously the case can go away. Because obviously we definitely heard that they tried to settle it out. They went to Watson's camp, tried to settle it outside. He said no, and then since that report come out where he said no, he's not settling it outside. All the allegations started flooding in like days and days and days afterwards. So I was just like, but I did originally. I won't lie to you, the conspiracy theory was in me was strong, because I've always had my apprehensive towards the Houston Texans organization, just because of everything I've seen them do in the last couple of seasons.
Agreed.
Makes no sense. And as I've been making no sense, I just don't like the vibe I get from them due to their ownership specifically and his comments and his forefather's comments. So I'm like, okay, cool. And now you've got, so basically the person that they need to keep to make them afloat, you now want to hold him hostage? It makes sense, because you don't want to let him go. And there's no team can give you up four first rounds or whatever for him to stay. Like, you can't turn that down either. So you're kind of screwed either way. So what are you going to do? Oh, a smear campaign. But now it just doesn't seem like a smear campaign. And it's so hard. Like, in my mind, I just want some evidence either or way, you know, to either... like say this is a situation, and you know what, you judge every case on its own merit, own individual case by its own merit. I get they're lumped together, but obviously it's going to be 21 different scenarios or 21 different people's accounts. So you would think that I would just need 21, I need each one's individual account scenario to understand and go from there. But I don't think I'll get that. So we're going to have to see how it plays out. I still believe that the NFL, regardless of it being off season, this is dictating their season. The NFL know it's dictating their season.
I think it was initially. I don't think it is anymore now, because right now you've got the draft, and the draft is such a big event that no one's really talking about Deshaun Watson at the moment right now. Really,
when the draft is done, it'll come back again.
It will come back again. I think that's when the NFL will make a decision, will make a move. But until then, I don't think they'll make a move, because they don't need to make a move.
Yeah, well, I think they just don't want to. They don't want to shine too much light on it, which makes sense. But my issue is it dictated free agency, because all the moves that took place, or non moves that took place,
it determined what was going to possibly happen with free agency. Yeah, I agree with that.
It determined basically what's happening with the QBs for the draft for the majority of teams.
Okay.
Like, the majority of teams that are getting a QB, apart from Jags, every other team that wanted a QB in the draft wanted to get Deshaun Watson. So as far as I can see,
but then also even if he was on the exempt list, for example, would we then, you know, he might be on the exempt list, but then from that point of view, would teams still have gone for him? Because he could have been out for the season. Would you have made a move for that? Because I think teams would have still made. I don't think teams would have. Even if he wasn't on the exempt list, or he was, the fact that he had the accusation against him, they would have put some teams off him. They would have put some teams off purely on that. Even if they didn't do anything, I still think teams would have been no.
Yeah, I don't always feel like some teams had that kind of public pressure. They weren't bowed to that public pressure when they think it's what's best for them. Because obviously some teams are run like a business instead of running like in terms of a public PR conversation. They're running it like, well, we need to get a job done. What's the best way to get a job done? So I don't know. It's a what if, because we don't know. That situation has now gone past, if that makes sense. If he's going to get his move, it won't be until next season.
Okay.
If he's still in the league. And there's a lot of what ifs. All what right.
All right, we'll see. I personally think he might be out for the entire season. Unless something drastically changes in terms of information that we get and new light, he will be out. He'll be suspended for sure. The only way he wouldn't be suspended completely is if, you know, all the accusations drop. But, we'll see. So we are going to move into, obviously, as a guest on the show, you know, we've got the draft. It's in about 15, 16 days' time. And so keen to get your thoughts, because we haven't really done any sort of draft specials or any draft episodes just yet. So keen to get your thoughts on that. Obviously, we're going to go for the first top 10. So we're going to go from Jacksonville all the way to Dallas. So only the first 10 picks.
Can we edit that? Can we just go from the Jets to Dallas? Because there's no point talking about Jacks. In my mind, everyone knows what they're doing. So it's not. It's that we knew what it was doing when Jets managed to win that second game last year. So we know.
Okay, is that what you think?
Well, we knew who they was going to get once Jets won that second game.
Well, let's just say we'll say it for the sake of
argument. All right, okay? Cool. All right.
For the sake of argument, what's your number? Okay, we'll go with this. With the first pick. We'll start with NFL special, NFL draft. I feel like I'm now going to be, you know, the black version of Commissioner Goodell.
Okay.
With the first overall pick of the 2021 draft, Jacksonville Jaguars select
Trevor Lawrence.
Da-da-da-dum. All right. Yeah, we'll go to that. With the number two overall pick of the 2021 NFL draft, the New York Giants select
Jets. Did I do it again?
The New York Jets select
Zach Wilson.
Interesting on that. You know, people, I don't understand how his stock has risen so high. Like, he wasn't talked about like 3-4 months ago, and now all of a sudden the Jets are bang on him. I would have probably kept Darnold, traded up for the number two space and got picks so that I can get players, because they need players right now. They are shocking.
I don't have an answer because I thought it was going to be someone else who's going to show later in the draft, Justin Fields. I thought he was going to be the number two pick, to be honest with you.
I thought he was the best quarterback. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I thought that was all the noise I was hearing, but all the noise I'm hearing now is like that's not even going to be the case.
Don't go with the noise. I want to go if you were the GM
for I would have gone with, from everything that we had from research from, let's say, during last season, and we was like, if I was the Jets, I would have gone for Darnold for one more year, like you, only because we got someone who actually stayed in the NFL. Like, we got a rookie head coach. I'm like, I'm not trying to do rookie behaviours out here. There's a lot of rookiness. There's a lot of freshness. We've got a rookie OC. I don't want to be doing all of that. Like, I want to be doing some of it.
I get that. So, but the Jets have already given up Sam Darnold, so you have to make a pick. So, you've ready? You've gone with Zach Wilson. Okay. With the number three overall pick of the 2021 NFL draft, if you're San Francisco, who would you draft?
Considering I mortgage my house and my future houses, I have to draft a quarterback. Now, I don't know what they was doing. I can't lie to you. I'm confused. But if I have to, and the fact that Mr. Shanahan went to his pro day, I'm going to have to choose Jones, aren't I? Like, that's who they're looking at. I would have chose Fields right now. Fields is still being chosen. I'm here at three, and Fields is not being spoken. I don't get it. You're the GM.
Don't get me what they would potentially go.
But yeah, okay. Right. If I'm the GM, I'm picking Fields. I would have picked Fields. Yeah, okay. But they haven't never. If I was Jets, I would have picked Fields. Then I would have chosen, and then I would be free with San Fran. So I'll be like Wilson or Jones.
You already said Wilson, and you've now said Mac Jones. I'm taking your pick.
This is not fair. I'm confused. No,
come back onto the next show and you can talk about it then. So, with the number four overall pick, Atlanta Falcons does what? Because it's going to be interesting. What do you think they will do?
Well, I got a quarterback who I can't shift for two years because his contract's too much. So, there's no point in drafting a quarterback. So, I'll take a skill position and I'll take Kyle Pitts.
Interesting. Personally, I like Kyle Pitts from Miami. But if I was the Falcons, I actually would trade down. You know, you got Matt Ryan, who is still good enough for what you're doing. You've got wide receivers in Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. So you've got weapons. You need defensive players because your defense sucked last and you can't keep a lead. I would have traded out with Denver for the number fourth pick. You still get a pick, you know, up there. You still get a pick. I'm pretty sure you still get a pick within the within sort of the top 15. You can go for a defensive player. You can get a first round, or you can get more picks for second and third round to then go for it from there. And Denver need a quarterback, so I personally would have traded out because you know we know that the Falcons are entertaining offers for their fourth pick. You don't need Kyle Pitts,
but you know why? Do you know why I need Kyle Pitts? Yeah. Because I know who I've got my head. I know I've got a new head coach, and what my head coach can do is turn basic quarterbacks into magicians.
You mean
office? And yes, and if my quarterback is already, let's say, above average, because I believe Matt Ryan's above average. I believe if he had a coherent defense, not a good one, just a coherent one, they would get to, let's say, With this new numbering system, 10-7, easy. If they have a coherent defense, they can get to 10-7. So I'm thinking, let me start the offense. And obviously, I got 2 years with Pitts. I'm good to go.
You need to start the defense. That's what you mean. I hear what you're saying about coherent.
Hey, listen, I'm not a
defensive players.
Yeah, but my team is not made for defense. We're made to win games by outscoring.
Yeah, but your offense is good enough. You need to add.
No, it's not. It's not. Because if it was, then I would have won more games just on the offense alone.
Okay.
I'm not worried. It's an offensive league. We wanna listen. The fans have been away. They need to come back. They need to see enjoyment. That's okay. The way I see it.
Okay, we move. Guru Dan disagrees, and there's a reason why I'm called Guru Dan for a reason. So, the number overall fifth pick of the NFL 2021 draft. Cincinnati Bengals pick.
I was deciding. I can't know if I'm going to take Sewell. I need an offensive tackle. I need something on that offense. I need... Yeah, let's go Penny.
I think for me personally, I think he's probably the best lineman. I think you got that and Rashad Slater as well. But Penei Sewell for me is probably going to be the same. I'll probably go with that as well. They need to protect Burrow. You can't get him injured. I think you need to focus on your O-line first. Draft some protection and then go from there. So I'm definitely in the same place.
The only random thing I could have done, I could have dropped down to the Lions or Broncos.
True, but I don't think the Bengals are like that. To be fair, knowing that
you could
the O-linemen. I would drop down as well. But the Bengals aren't really risk averse like that. They won't do it. But you do know no one's taking an offensive lineman in probably the first six picks. So they won't quarterback.
Well, I feel that you could drop all the way down to 9. Because in my head, we know the first three are quarterbacks. The fourth could be a quarterback. It could be anything, but it's not going to be an offensive tackle. It's not going to be an offensive tackle. I'm 5, so if someone trades up, that's a quarterback. Next position, they're not probably going to get offensive tackle because it's Miami at the moment. Lions is not going to get offensive tackle. Panthers probably won't. Denver, and if Lions or Panthers do, I've already traded with Denver, which means I'm still going to get my offensive tackle with one of the two options between Slater and Surratt. So. True. If we were savvy, we could do that. But we don't know if we're savvy. I don't know if it can work. That's where I'm at.
Not a savvy organization.
Yeah.
You can be all you want. It's a fact. You cannot deny it. So, we're going to go with the number 6 pick. With the number 6 overall pick, the Miami Dolphins select...
Jamar Chase.
Interesting. Okay. I would probably go with Devontae Smith. First of all, he's a Heisman winning wide receiver. We haven't had that in ages. He knows Tua, they've played at Alabama, so he knows the system. Mm. I think people are sleeping on him just because of how he's built. And it's like, oh, well, built frame-wise for it, but you know what? You know, you couldn't say that Jerry Rice was probably the most, you know, dominating in terms of physically built wide receiver, but he knew how to run routes. He knew what he was doing. And I think I see the same with Devontae Smith. So,
I hear that. This is where it gets interesting because obviously it's between him and Devontae Smith who's going to go 1 and 2 for that position in wide receiver.
Okay.
I think that's very fair to say.
With the number 7 overall pick, the Detroit Lions select
Devontae Smith.
Okay. So I'll probably say Jamar Chase, but we both agree they need weapons.
Yeah.
You've got
they need weapons. They need weapons.
Agreed.
They need weapons. So that's really it. That's really it, to be honest.
Agreed.
So
we're gonna move on to the number 8 overall pick. The Carolina Panthers select.
They need help on defense, you know.
Oh, you're going for a defensive player, okay.
Yeah, I do like. Well, they need to replace like Kukley and they need to replace that linebacker core. So, Micah Parsons.
Okay, I would have gone for an offensive lineman. I think they're weak on left tackle. I think that I would have probably gone for Slater because they need to protect Darnold now. You've now got a QB. Try and protect him. You still have weapons. You know, we don't forget they have signed some good players. They do have weapons. They do have Christian McCaffrey as well. And if you want to also protect your running game or improve your running game, you want to get good offensive line to sort of shift the play and create holes. So I would have gone for a tackle. I would have gone for Slater out of Northwestern for me personally.
Okay, fair enough. I hear that. It's interesting because for Bronco.
So, with the number 9 overall pick, Denver Broncos, because for you, they didn't trade up. For me, they have. But we're going to go with you based on your picks. The Denver Broncos are with an overall 9th overall pick. Select who?
Slater. Because they need some offensive line help to make sure that Drew Lock plays better. This is where.
Interesting. I would have gone for Trey Lance.
Yeah, but
big arm.
I don't
play of Denver. You need it if it's just because obviously based on your thing. Going with Denver being at 9, I would have taken Trey Lance. If they went up to 4, I would have still to getting them to take Trey Lance. They need a QB. That no name QB. Can't remember his name at the moment right now.
Drew Lock.
He's not good. I think Trey Lance. You give him some time to build a system. He's got a big arm. I think he's got the ability. He can run as well, which is going to be a good thing. So I think overall, I like the look of Trey Lance for them.
Fair enough. I don't agree, but fair enough.
Fair enough. We're going to go with our last pick with the number 10 pick of the draft. The Dallas Cowboys select.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys don't select.
Ooh, interesting. Trade alert.
New England select.
Wow.
Yes. Now,
New England will go all the way up.
Yeah. Okay. Because they know, they know that they have Cam Newton for 1 to 2 seasons.
Okay.
And they know that.
I did not expect this, folks. I was not.
And they also know that they basically signed the whole roster for 1 year, for 1 season, apart from Johnny Smith. Some of it's 2 seasons, but really and truly, it's 2 seasons max that they signed this roster for. Like, they were smart. They knew the cap was going to go up and they used their free agency money. We're not going to say they used it the best, but we're definitely going to say they've got themselves a nice little short-term deals to see what they can do for this season and then move on for next season. And like you've previously always informed me, they've got a whole bag of players coming back to sort out that defense. So they've moved up and they're going to collect Trey Lance. So they're going to say to themselves,
"You think they're going to go for Trey Lance?"
I feel he went for Cam Newton. He gets a little project because he doesn't see them keep getting Garoppolo right now for another 2 seasons, and they want someone either for the next 2 seasons or for the next 10. They're not going to try and do a middle ground. So he's thinking about, well, Cam Newton can be phased out after 1 year. Then we've got Trey Lance after doing some training, and he's going to come correct.
Okay. Didn't expect that. That's kind of thrown me a little bit. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys will trade out. I think they'll go for Patrick Surtain, like everyone's predicting. They need help on corner.
They're desperate for him. Yeah, if they don't trade out, they're desperate for him. Yeah,
desperate for cornerback. So I think they'll go for that. I did not see that. I don't think the New England will trade up. I just don't think it's Belichick thing. I think two teams that would probably trade up are the Broncos and Washington. I think Washington still need a QB. This magic is not the solution or answer to everything. So I think
why not? I feel like he can give you.
My friend, let's stop this conversation here. Right
no,
now. What has he done in his career for you to think?
If you give him a team that can actually catch the players that can catch the ball, and that defense, all he has to do is not do a Winston season of 30-30, and he can get to 10, 11 wins.
Mate, he's been in the league for what now? Over 10 years, 15 years. Like,
but I'm talking.
You know what he's doing, mate? At Miami. Come on, he got beaten by Tua, and Tua was not impressive.
He didn't get beaten by Tua. They just wanted to put Tua in because they wanted to see what he's got. There's no way he lost that job because of the way he played. That's not the case. We know that's not the case. That was just seeing like you got a number one draft. You got your number one draft pick from last year. You need to see how they are. That was nothing to do with his performance. So when you take that element out, and when you say what he did when he was at Buccaneers the year before, since 30-30. Tell me, I'm seeing a quarterback who knows how to play football. And what do I need? Someone who can do that. Because what they was doing beforehand with Dwayne Haskins in the strip club and Tyler Henneke, who had one of the greatest games ever for a one game season. What do you want me to do? I can't work with that. I've got someone I can work with. I don't need to go and get a quarterback. I've got him for 2 years. The market's going to open up again next year.
The QB market isn't great next year, though. Let's not lie to ourselves. It's not.
Yeah, but I'm talking about all
scout reports.
I'm not talking about the draft. I'm not talking about the market. I'm talking about there's going to be. I feel like they might be able to steal a Matt Ryan because now they could get rid of Alex Fisher's contract probably fully next year. They can get stuff from Matt Ryan if they want to. Jared Goff will definitely still be available if Detroit want to dump him. Like, there's options next year if Fitzmagic doesn't work out. But there's options that can ride out for a good few seasons. Look at your face. You look so confused by this statement, by this view.
I am confused how you think Fitzmagic can get better. You don't get better with anything in the NFL like that. Not after 35.
No, he's going to be fine. We have the dinner conversations, and if you need to have another dinner conversation, we can add this one into you already. So don't worry.
What's your bet?
Oh, that they will be a 10-win team next season. The Washington football team.
Yeah, but I believe they could be. I think they're the best.
Nah, see, so what? But you're telling me that Fitzmagic's not the one.
I think they will do it right. Look. Put it this way, I don't think Fitzmagic will end the season as the starter for Washington. How about that?
Wait, play the last game? Play the last game of the season?
As a starter. He won't end it. So then we'll replace him.
Okay, so wait. One caveat. If he gets injured...
Okay, no, that's fine. No, I'll give
you... If he gets injured, that doesn't count. But okay, that's fine. He will play the last game. If he starts...
Because he can play the last game, but he might not be a starter.
He will play the last game as a starter QB as long as they don't draft no one. That's a fact.
If they draft someone,
they're going to do the Tua nonsense. They're going to just get rid of him.
Don't put in that drafting because you didn't say that. Because you said that they don't draft anyone because they got Fitzmagic. You said they don't even draft anyone. So we're not putting the draft caveat in there. The bet is, and people are hearing it right now, if Fitzmagic does not finish the season as Washington's starting QB, you owe me dinner. I like Mobu. I got fancy taste. Nobody.
Yeah, but you know what? It's still gonna be balanced out after the wide receiver one, so it's okay.
Oh yeah, so what is it that AJ Green would do better than
You said AJ Green is gonna do better than Galladay and Juju and Galladay.
Yeah, stand by that.
With what is it, yards and receptions?
I said yards. I don't think I said receptions, but yards, definitely yards.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yards. AJ Green. AJ Slowman Green's gonna outpace people. Oi! Even saying it out loud.
Hey, dinner is on you. And on that note, we're gonna call it peace. Guys, we hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to check us out, Extra Time Sports, on Instagram, and to check out the Extra Time podcast on both Apple and Spotify. It's been fun. It's been real. Definitely message us with your top 10 mock draft. The best mock draft. We'll put you guys on the episode. We'll put you on the show as well. We've got some exciting things. We've got Ian Rappaport coming on the show soon. We've got the GM, Jason Light, also coming on the show. So, stay tuned for those sort of episodes as well. But yeah, all in all, guys, we hope you had a fun time and enjoy. And on that note, Amari, we're out.
Thank you. See you later.
Thank you for listening to Extra Time. Please remember to subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Extra Time with Dan and Chris.